So today we're going to be running through Manushiksha, literally running. We're really just touching on it today. So Friday night from 7:30 to 9, we're going to go very deep. So on Friday, we're going to be singing all the verses. There's a benediction that if you sing all the verses, you'll go back to Godhead. and we're going to be really delving into the verses. Of course, to go really, really, really deep, you have to spend at least 12 hours, or maybe 24, 1 to 2 hours on each verse. So even Friday, we're not going to go as deep as is possible to go. But this is just going to be a little taste. So we have outside... we have some advanced copies of Manushiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami. And until now, there really wasn't a really good translation of this book, so we got this done. Also, a translation of the commentaries of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a song for each of the verses, and this is the first time that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs have been translated. We have commissioned 12 full-color oil paintings, one for each verse. They're all in the book, and they're also for sale on Radharani.com. We also have about 120 black and white drawings that we commissioned for this work to illustrate the commentaries. We also have commentaries of Jai Dwaita Swami, Sachinanda Maharaj, Shivaram Maharaj, and Bhakti Vigyan Swami. And so that is available outside. It's also available on Amazon for more money if you don't want to get it here, or if we run out, which we probably will. So why is Manushiksha important? Well, first of all, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jivadharma says it's a padati. Pada means step, hati means progress. That this is the book that tells you step by step how to make progress to attain spontaneous love for Krishna in Vrindavan. So who of you would like to attain spontaneous love for Krishna in Vrindavan? Okay. If you don't, you probably don't need to come to this class because this is what this is about. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that Rupa Goswami teaches us what to do, but Raghunath Das Goswami tells us how to do it. And I really found that this book was the only one that I encountered that went really deep into our psychology and worked on the step-by-step progress that one needed to make. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. In order to become fully Krishna conscious. So I just found this an extraordinary book, and I had no idea when I started working on this project, frankly, how extraordinary it is. The book is also very important, especially for ISKCON's 50th anniversary, and I think I was supposed to say something in the Prayer of Dwani prayers about 50th Kijai, but... there was a controversy in Bhaktisiddhanta's time, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami was not teaching actual spontaneous devotion to Krishna, that he was teaching just ritualistic devotion. And this controversy has come to the present time. People have accused Srila Prabhupada of the same. In fact, there are people who've left ISKCON thinking, you know, we're not going to find spontaneous love for Krishna here. It's just all ritualistic and formal. And Manushiksha clearly establishes that the process followed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada follows this, what's called the inner path of Raghunath Das Goswami. And we have a whole chapter in Manushiksha on this. I really will only be able to give this maybe 30 seconds today. But this book is also very important, specifically to establish that ISKCON is bona fide and to explain what is the process of spontaneous devotion that is being practiced today in ISKCON. So Manushiksha is divided into several parts. The first three parts, you could say that really the path starts with verse 3 and goes all the way through verse 11. But the first three verses are kind of our orientation on the path. What is our compass? What's our qualification? How are we starting with? 4 through 7 are the heavy verses. And if you really don't want something to go deep into the heart, you probably should leave when we start those verses because they are very intense. They really get to what are our material attachments, how are we deceiving ourselves, how are we deceiving others, and coming to truth and authenticity, and what are the cure for all of these. Then we have 4 verses about the path in perfection and 1 benedictory verse. So on Friday, we will be singing all of these verses. Again, anyone who sings all these verses in a sweet voice, trying to understand their meaning, is definitely going to attain the jewel of love for Radha and Krishna Vrindavan, but we don't have time to do that today. So this is the first verse of qualification, and here you'll notice the word rati, In the third line, Rati means great love, great attachment. So Raghunath Das Goswami is telling us that we have to have attachment. He gives a whole list. We have to have attachment for our spiritual masters, Diksha Gurus, Shiksha Gurus, and not just to see them as saintly persons, but to see them as our friend. Right? So he's telling us we have to evoke some emotion here. And he says that we should have also great love for the process of surrendering. You know, I find devotees sometimes talk, they kind of denigrate the process. Oh, I got to surrender to Krishna. The love for the process and one-pointed attachment to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, which we'll look at that in the next verse. Love for the holy places. That doesn't just mean in India, it means this holy place. Don't just come here again as a formality. And love for the holy places that we establish in our room or in our home. If you have a little shelf where you have an altar, keep it clean. Fresh flowers, some affection. Very amazingly, Raghunath Das Goswami talks about, I think, having love for the devotees. He talks about three categories of devotees, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes as Kanista, Majjhima, and Uttama. Again, we'll be getting into this a lot more on Friday. And he talks about the Uttama devotees as those... Can the gentleman see the screen? Yeah, can you gentlemen all the way over there see the screen, or is this really... Maybe we need to have, yeah. Interestingly here, we're favoring the ladies. I don't know, it's a new thing in the Hare Krishna movement. And when my first parikram in Vrindavan, I went with a large group of devotees, and the men would get to go in the place and hear what the tour, you know, our transcendental tour guide was saying, and the ladies had to sit out in the sun and hear nothing. And I decided I wasn't going to go on a big parikram again after that, but I don't want to do reverse discrimination. Can everybody see this now? Yes? You can see over there? Can you, ladies, still see it over there? Okay, great. Sorry about that. I didn't notice that earlier. So here, the Uttama Adhikaris are defined as those who live mentally in Vrindavan, and that's how a Vrijvasi is defined. The Majjhima devotees are defined as those of any tradition who are serious practitioners, even if they don't live mentally in Vrindavan. And one should have love for all these devotees. The Kanistas here are defined as the Brahmanas who teach Varnashram. Well, these are the Kanista Adhikaris. And again, one should have love for all these devotees. One should have love for the mantras given by Guru, not just chant them officially. One should have love for the holy name of the Lord, especially the primary names of God. Again, not just official, oh, I got to get my rounds done. This is our oil painting for this verse. All of the oil paintings we had commissioned are not only based on the verses, but they're also drawing from many other shastras and works of the Acharya. This is the painting of Nandagram, as described by Kavi Karnapur in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu. So love for the holy places. This is close up from the painting. Now, just love isn't enough, right? Oh, everybody can say, I love God, right? I love Jesus. I am loving Krishna so much. I just love isn't enough. Also, Saradamvan Hitva. One always has to have humility. Without humility, in fact, there is no such thing as love. Because without humility, there's no appreciation. As soon as we think we deserve something, we no longer appreciate it. Have you ever felt unappreciated? Right? Yeah. Well, of course you're working hard 12 hours a day. You're a brahmachari, is what you're supposed to do, you know, as if you're not just voluntarily giving of your time. So whenever we have this mood of I deserve, you know, I'm the husband, I deserve to have you cook a 40-course meal and have the whole house, you know, cleaned and perfumed, then you don't appreciate what you have. Yes. Now, that's not even enough. Just love and humility isn't enough. One has to make some effort. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, don't depend on luck. Oh, if Krishna's merciful to me, I'll get pure devotion. If he's not, I won't. One has to make an endeavor. Second verse of qualification. This is the verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes the most often from Manushiksha. Very interesting verse. Nadharmam, nadharmam. Don't do dharma or adharma. Well, what's left? If we look at Bhagavad Gita 4:17, we see there's three kinds of action. Karma, vikarma, and akarma. So Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, don't do karma, which is, I am a very good person, and therefore I chant my rounds. Therefore, I take care of my wife because I am good. Or I'm a really bad person. and I do illegal things to get money for Krishna, you know. So not to be either I'm a good person or I'm a bad person, but because both of those entangle us in the law of karma. But rather to offer everything to Krishna in akarma, I call this the secret agent principle, which we will be discussing more on Friday. So you remember that Raghunath Das Goswami said that we should have one-pointed attachment to Radha and Krishna, and he didn't mention anything about Lord Chaitanya. So here he tells us, see the son of Mother Sachi as the same as the son of Nanda Maharaj. I don't know why he mentions Mahaprabhu's mother and Krishna's father. But here we can be one-pointed to Krishna and worship Lord Chaitanya because we see Lord Chaitanya as Krishna. I find it interesting here that he talks about Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. So in our oil painting, we have Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. And he also talks about Radha Krishna. So I was thinking, well, what Leela has both Radha, Krishna, and Nanda Maharaj? So this is our painting for this verse. This is a story from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana about Radha and Krishna getting married. And also in the smaller volume, we have not only the verses in the paintings, but detailed descriptions and excerpts from the Shastra, which give background to the paintings. Now, he goes further here about Guru. He says, see Guru as Mukunda Preshta. Srila Prabhupada discusses this in one purport in the Adi Lila, referencing this verse of Manashiksha. This is very much like Kintu Prabhurya Priya Evatasya. So we don't want to have, and this is a very deep discussion, frankly, we could talk about this one section, Mukunda Preshta, of this one verse for a month. That we don't want our devotion to Guru to be separate from our devotion to Krishna. Because we love Krishna, we love everyone that Krishna loves. Third verse of qualification. Again, these are step by step on the path. Here we're going to focus on a couple things. You see in the first line, sa ragam, with attachment. Generally, in Krishna consciousness, we think of giving up attachment. This is saying with attachment. Pratijanur. Okay, pratijanur means life after life. And just reminds us of Rukmini, where she says, if I can't attain you by the austerities in this life, I am willing to undergo austerities life after life. And Prabhupada says in Krishna book that this great determination as exhibited by Rukmini is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor. And then Raghunath Das Goswami says we have to follow Swarup Damodar, Rupa and Sanatan, and we've also included here Raghunath Das Goswami himself. In other words, we can't just make up our own process. One can't just say, well, I'm going to love Krishna however I want. I'm going to love the devotees however I want. We have to follow the acharyas. We've illustrated here their books as pouring jewels on the heads of their readers. One of my grandchildren said, Grandma, wouldn't that hurt your head? So we have to follow, especially Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar was enjoined by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with explaining the path of spontaneous devotion, which he explained in two branches. An external path, which he explained to Vakeshwar Pandit, and an internal path, which he explained to Raghunath Das Goswami, and which is this Manashiksha. And it is an analysis of this external and internal path of spontaneous love that establishes that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati and his faithful follower, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, is in fact teaching us spontaneous devotion. In fact, here's the Gaudiya Math logo. We upgraded the printing press a little bit here, and we turned the Bangala script into Roman characters for Sanskrit. But this is the Gaudiya Math logo, which Srila Prabhupada also put on the gates of our Mayapur temple. And we analyzed the Gaudiya Math logo and Bhaktisiddhanta's writing to show that indeed he was teaching the inner path of Manashiksha. Now the difference between, one difference, between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raga Bhakti, between formal following and spontaneous following, is in Vaidhi Bhakti one is still half asleep, clutching the Shastra out of fear, following because of intellectual conviction with some taste here and there. Whereas here we have saragam, with attachment, one is starting to wake up. This verse is just the beginning of the awakening. And one is starting to follow out of joy. Now you might say, well, Urmila, I haven't yet started to wake up to my relationship with Krishna. Can I read this book? And the answer is yes, for several reasons. First of all, this book does not discuss any intimate leelas at all. Therefore, it's not forbidden for the beginning devotee. Also, all of the principles, all the way to verse 11, are applicable, even if you've only been in the Hare Krishna movement for one day. So it's really a very, very special book. But I would say that this book is only for those who desire to attain to spontaneous love for Krishna. If you don't desire that, then you'll be really bewildered by this book. If you want to go to Ayodhya, or you want to go to Vaikuntha, or you just want to be a ritualistic follower in this world, then this book really won't make much sense to you. But we should understand that Raghunath Das Goswami did intend, by verse 3, that it's the readers of this book would have already awakened some spontaneous feeling of love for Krishna. Please keep this in mind as you go through the book. Because even though he's talking about very heavy attachments and very heavy and subtle kinds of deceit and hypocrisy, he's assuming that his readers have already awakened the beginning of their spontaneous love for Krishna. This is a very, very important point. Now, on this inner path of spontaneous devotion, there's really no change in the externals. So whether one is in Vaidhi Bhakti or Rag Bhakti, one is still doing all of the 64 angas of bhakti, whereas internally one's love for Krishna is awakening like a bud turns into a flower. And this beginning awakening of spontaneous love means one gets some inner emotional spontaneous desire to serve the Lord as a servant like Raktak and Patrak, or as a friend like Sridham and Subal and Ujvala, Madhumanga, or in parental mood like Nanda and Yasoda and Rohini, or of course in an amorous mood like the gopis. And this is our oil painting for this verse. So as this is just the beginning, the starting awakening of spontaneous devotion, we've painted Krishna Balaram from behind, that one is just starting, one's just getting a glimpse, a beginning idea of one's relationship with the Lord. And the cows are raising up all kinds of dust, so everything's kind of hazy. And here we have the chief devotees in all of the five rasas. By the way, we have some of these paintings available as original oil paintings, if any of you are interested to purchase them. And we also have prints of all of the pictures available. And the proceeds for that go to our daily cleaning at Radhakund, Shamakund, and Govardhan. We're the only organization that cleans daily, feeding the widows there daily. Again, we're the only organization that feeds the widows daily. And we restore a lot of the holy places. So that's available at radharani.com. All right, now we're going to go into the path itself. This is deep. This is heavy. This is intense. We're really going to root out all of our deceit and hypocrisy, and I will not be offended if you leave now, because this is intense. Are you ready? You ready? Are you sure? You sure? Okay, I have warned you. I have warned you. Now, when you actually read Manushiksha, it's not the kind of book you pick up like a novel and read in a couple hours. But, you know, as we worked on this for 3 years, about 25, 30 devotees, you know, kind of you study it and then you sort of go back and you apply it and it works in your heart, and then you go back and you study it some more. Okay. So again, we're dealing here, this is with advanced devotees. These are people who have love for Krishna, they have love for Guru, love for the holy name. Maybe their feelings toward Krishna in their eternal position have already started to awaken. They're following Rupa Sanatan. These are not ordinary people. And the first thing they have to take care is sound. What do we talk about? What do we listen to? A couple months ago, I got a call from a devotee, very senior devotee, talking about some service. And in the hour and a half he talked to me, 50% of the time he spent glorifying himself and criticizing others. And I got off the phone and I thought, I don't think this devotee really knows what he's talking about. He's not listening to himself. To listen to ourselves. First step, what do we talk about? What do we post on social media? What do we listen to? Many times, as soon as the Bhagavatam class is over, we're not talking about Krishna anymore. Prabhupada says, a well-dressed fool is revealed as soon as he... What we talk about reveals our actual consciousness. What we talk about, what we listen to, reveals our inner state of consciousness. It also creates our future consciousness. It creates our future body. Sound creates everything. It reveals who we are, and it creates who we are going to be. And Raghunath Das Goswami uses some heavy metaphors here. After I gave the class in Houston, one Indian gentleman said, Mataji, your examples are all very crude. I said, well, it's not my examples. It's Raghunath Das Goswami's examples. So it's very crude, this prostitute. So a prostitute looks like a pretty young woman who's going to offer you love and affection and pleasure, but really, what is she going to do? Take your money, maybe take your health, ruin your family, ruin your reputation. Does she really love you? No, the prostitutes do not love their customers. So mundane talk is like a prostitute that takes away all of this nice spiritual wealth of love for Krishna. And then he says something really surprising. He said, talking about liberation is like a tigress that eats your very self. When we're saying, ah, Kali Yuga's so lousy, man, I'm suffering so much, I can't wait to get out of here. Life stinks. And we might think, oh, nice tigress. Some people have a tiger as a pet, right? Nice tigress. Then one day they don't show up to work. Because the desire for liberation is included, of course, in bhakti, but the desire for liberation is the antithesis of love. I was just reading this morning in Bhagavatam where Krishna says to Rukmini, you're free to go. You're free to go. And she faints. Love means you bind yourself, right? The marriage ceremony. Right? Just got a granddaughter married, which is a little freaky, by the way, to get a grandkid married. Disorienting. You bind the hands, right? You bind the cloth. So if we want bhakti, but we're focused on our own liberation, then it's like we're pulling ourselves in two different directions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the desire for liberation is like a prisoner who wants to commit suicide, thinking that way he'll be free. He quotes Rupa Goswami, the desire for bhakti and mukti are like two witches. Raghunathas Goswami also says, don't be attached to Lakshmipati. Interesting that he calls Narayan Lakshmipati. I have a friend who says, I like to have rich friends because then I get to go on their yacht too. So this Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the desire to go to Vaikuntha is a desire to enjoy the Lord's opulences with the Lord, not like the demigods who want to enjoy them separately from the Lord, with the Lord. But that desire. Whereas, although Narayan and Krishna are the same person, when the gopis see Narayan, they say, where's Krishna? How are we going to get free of the prostitute, the tigress, and attachment to enjoying the Lord's opulences? Raghunathas Goswami says we need a jewel, and we need the jewel of service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. This is a close-up of our oil painting for this verse. And when one gets into the service mood, with the attitude of the love of Vrindavan, which is just giving and just wanting to please the Lord, and you have that jewel, then the prostitute, the tigress, and even Lakshmipati become not very interesting. The jewel is, however, localized and external. So many people will think, well, that's it. I have love for Radha and Krishna and Guru and the holy name, and I'm filling myself with spiritual sound and following Rupa and Sanatana, and that's all I have to do. No. We have to look at what we do. Pasalibir, ropes, kamadi, lust, and his friends. This verse is about, do we walk our talk? A problem in ISKCON, a problem in every religion in the world. People who have some genuine emotion for the Lord, who talk wonderfully about spiritual subjects, and privately, they have a problem. There are highwaymen. Do we have highwaymen here in London? Probably not so many. Other parts of the world still. I was in Detroit recently. They said some petrol stations, when you pay for the petrol, they steal your car. The highwaymen. Again, these are advanced devotees. They're on the shining path, the revealed path of love, and these thieves have put up a rope. Now, who are they? And I'd like the men to excuse me. My artists decided to portray all of them as male. Lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, madness. Their ropes are woven out of deeds. These are the, I know I shouldn't look at that. I know I shouldn't eat that. I know I shouldn't say that. What Arjuna talks about in the third chapter, those things that we know we shouldn't do, they're in opposition to what we preach, they're in opposition to what we believe, and we do them anyway. Why? Because Kama and his friend have a rope around our neck and are pulling us around like a dog on a leash. So what is the cure? Raghunath Das Goswami says, remember the cheating crane. The crane is on one leg deep in meditation until along comes a fish. So this is, of course, hypocrisy to others. I'm preaching something. My behavior doesn't match my preaching. So one remembers Krishna, the killer of Baka, but one calls out not to Krishna, the killer of Baka. One calls out to the devotees of Krishna, the killer of Baka. We'll get into more on Friday why we want to call to the devotees of the killer of Baka and how calling to the devotees of the killer of Baka gets these ropes around our neck cut. And in his commentary, Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes a verse calling for Narada, Bhishma, and Arjuna as the protectors on the path. This is a close-up. And what do you think? Kama and his friends will run away when they see these guys? I think so. Right? And as soon as they see the protectors, they all run away. We're also, of course, freed by following the instructions of the great acharyas. We're showing symbolically Rupa and Raghunath, their books are cutting the ropes around our neck. Now, my dear friends, I would say a large portion of devotees are going to say that at this point in the process, we are done, we are home free, this is all we have to do. In fact, after I made this presentation at one temple, the temple president came and talked to me later, very disturbed, and not this one, a more detailed one. And he said, look, all we have to do, we just simply have to chant Hare Krishna and follow the process, and that's it. You know, and all these other deep things, they'll go away in time on their own. I'm sorry. There's another step. Now, this is hard. Just even paying attention to what we're talking about and what we're listening to is hard. My dear friends, we may think we're talking about Krishna and we're talking about something else. Noticing all the ways in which we cheat in our behavior. That's hard to see. It takes a lot of humility. And noticing this one is almost impossible. If you haven't noticed the first two and dealt with them, this is going to be almost impossible even to see. This is about deceiving ourselves. On the gross platform, Kama and his friends are now dead on the side of the shining path. Now, wow, we have some affection for Guru and Krishna. We have this shining jewel of love. We love chanting and we love our mantras. And we're surrounding ourselves with spiritual sound and we're not doing anything sinful. Woohoo! I'm getting clean. And Raghunath Das Goswami says, you better look up at your shower head. Maybe it's the rear end of a donkey. Maybe it's the blank of a blank. How do we know that we're actually bathing in donkey urine? It will burn. If we feel a burning sensation in our heart, especially when we're around advanced devotees, how come they're advanced? I've been in the movement just as long as they have. And they have this problem and that problem. How come they're so blissful? Then we can know that we are bathing in donkey urine. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about three kinds of sadhakas who bathe in donkey urine. Here are the householders, or I'd say in our modern age, it would be single but not renounced people, who are doing full-time service. They're not engaged in some job or occupation. They're not really engaged in varnashram. They can bathe in donkey urine by, in the name of service, engaging in sense gratification. Neglecting the devotees to preach to rich materialists. This can be institutionalized also. You can have temples that neglect the devotees in order to flatter and cater to people who are wealthy and famous. Wanting to accumulate wealth and opulence. Meditating on having wealth and opulence. Wanting to win arguments instead of wanting to find truth. Wanting to win arguments and thus resorting to a twisted logic, twisting logic in order to win arguments instead of using the shastra, artificially, prematurely taking up renunciation just to impress others. Then there's the parinista sadhaka. These are the householders who follow all of the rules of the world and their devotees also, they have a job, they follow all kinds of etiquette and so forth. They can bathe in donkey urine by making a show of being strict while maintaining material attachments, and by preferring the association of non-devotees who we've symbolized here as the karmis, gyanis, and yogis instead of the devotees. The renunciates, the brahmacharis, the vanaprasthas, and the sannyasis can bathe in donkey urine by thinking, because I am in a renounced order, I am an advanced Vaishnava. Very common. Disrespecting the householders, the men disrespecting the women and children. We've definitely had a big problem of this also being institutionalized in our movement. Institutionalized donkey urine. Collecting more food and money than possibly required for service. This is a big one in ISKCON and in every tradition. In the name of preaching, just trying to attract the opposite sex. That's a very big one. This also can again become institutionalized. We really struggle with this. Neglecting one's personal sadhana in order to flatter materialistic people for wealth. I don't have time to chant my rounds. I have to go meet with a life member. This, I think, really applies to all devotees, that while you're ostensibly doing devotion, you're meditating on, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I don't have enough money in the bank. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I need a new dhoti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, that's a pretty girl. So this is bathing in donkey urine. This was very hard to illustrate, and I don't think the illustration really shows it justice. This is someone who's really strict with the externals, but they've lost the real story. So it's not that literally their beads and paraphernalia would be on the floor. It's more a mentality that they have, you know, pukka clothes, nicely ironed silk, and they know all the mudras, and their Sanskrit is just perfectly proper. And they have all the externals, but they've lost the internal purpose. And this one is having your heart locked up in a box. In the front, you can see the hearts locked up in the box. So neglecting the main purpose of spiritual life, not engaging in spiritual life with one's emotion. And the common thread of all these is that externally you're doing the right thing, but there's something wrong with one's motive. And we will again discuss this in far more depth on Friday with some examples of what this means. But the symptom is that it's burning. And the solution, Raghunath Das Goswami says, is to bathe in the ocean of love at the feet of Gandharvika and Giridhari. In other words, to do everything simply to please the Lord, not to do anything for money, for security, for a comfortable place to stay, for a plate of mahaprasadam, for, you know, the appreciation of the opposite sex, or anything like that, but just to think, is Krishna pleased, is Krishna pleased, is Krishna pleased? This is our oil painting for this verse. Bathe in the ocean of love at the lotus feet of Gandharva and Giridhari. So at this point, what do you think? Are we done? Are we done? Because now we've got, you know, affection for Radha Krishna and Guru and the holy name. We're surrounded with spiritual sound. We're not doing anything that's against the principles of devotion. And we're doing everything for the purpose of pleasing Radha and Krishna and Guru. So do you think we're done now? What do you think? You think we're done? What do you think? You think we're done? Sounds like we're done, yeah? No. One more. This is the hardest thing to even be aware of. This is the hardest thing to even be aware of. So at this point, a person has a jewel of love of God, which is external and localized, and they're swimming in an ocean of love of God, which is external and pervasive, and they think, woohoo, I'm swimming in an ocean of love of God. I'm a devotee. I've made it. I've got a party going on in my heart. Raghunath Das Goswami says, you better look at what's happening in that party. What's being served is a dead dog. And this is fame and honor. What do you think a person at this point wants to be honored for? Being a great devotee, yes. The desire for his fame and honor, he represents as a disloyal woman. Some translations call her a prostitute. That's not the Sanskrit word that's used here. She's unchaste, because when you want praise and honor, you don't hang around with one person. As soon as they criticize you, you leave and go to someone else who'll praise you. Yes? Right? So a disloyal woman. And Raghunath Das Goswami says, sadhu prema. He uses the feminine form of prema. Prema. Sadhu prema. The chaste ladies of love, they won't come into this heart with this dead dog and this disloyal woman. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his song commentary on this verse, says this woman has a boyfriend named Deceit. because when we want to be honored, we are not honest. Isn't that a fact? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this desire for honor, which we symbolize here as trophies, is the root of the tree of deceit. And if it's not eventually, uprooted, thank you. Disrooted, unrooted, uprooted, thank you. If it's not uprooted, all the other things will come back. The donkey urine, the ropes of kama, the prostitute, the tigress. One has got to uproot this desire to be known as a great devotee. And both the householders and the renunciates have this problem. The householders can want to be known as kind and religious and sinless, as a devotee, as a knower of spiritual subjects. The renunciates want to be known as being very renounced. Oh, Prabhu, I only have two dhotis. As a master of the shastra and as a knower of love. And I had a senior devotee say to me recently, you know, Urmila, I'm the only one who knows all the conclusions of love of God is given in the shastra. I went, oh, dead dog. And how do we get rid of this dead dog and this disloyal woman? Well, here we need some heavy, heavy duty artillery. Not just the devotees of the killer Abaka, we need to call for the generals, the army generals, and the generals in Krishna's army. They will send them out of the heart, and Krishna himself will make sure that they never come back. Then the heart becomes like a beautiful city into which the chaste lady of love enters. Why the generals? Because at this point, one wants to be a general. One wants to be a great devotee. One wants to be a saint. Instead, one should serve the saints, which is so nectarian that one gives up the desire to be a saint. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we serve the saints through embraces, taking their foot dust, eating their food remnants, taking the water that's washed their feet, and then the potency from their heart enters into our heart. And then the chaste ladies of love enter into our heart. Now, wouldn't you like to have these devotees in your heart instead of the crazy lady with her dog? What do you think? All right, now, my friends, we are done. Now we are done. Now Raghunath Das Goswami is going to talk about the steps in perfection. But again, I want to emphasize that even though we're going to go to the steps in perfection, everything here can be applicable even if you're only 2 days in the movement. So please don't think that the rest of Manushiksha, this is high stuff, I don't have to listen to this. You can use this even today. So here, those of you who know Sanskrit, you'll notice the yata, 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 tata, which is a very nice, very common way of organizing a Sanskrit verse. And you notice here, right in the first lines, even though I'm a cheater, the Lord's mercy can drive away my inherent wicked nature. So what is gone here? What is gone now? What's absent from the devotee? Pride. Pride, even though I am a cheater. I'm no longer a great devotee. I'm such a strict sadhaka. I am such a great preacher. I am such a great devotee. My heart is pure. No, I am a cheater. I'm wicked. Really believing that. That's easy to say, isn't it? We all learn how to say that after about 2 or 3 days in ISKCON. Oh, I'm really fallen, Prabhu. To mean it. Only by your mercy can you grow a flower in my dirty heart. Fill me with glowing nectar. So we had the jewel, which was external and localized, the ocean, which is external and pervasive. Now this is what? Internal. One is now filled internally because the heart is clean. One can be filled internally with love. Radha Krishna is showering nectar into the hearts of the devotees. The Ladini Shakti is revealing fully one's relationship with the Lord. And the devotee says, may I please be put under the care of Gandharva. Although bhakti from the beginning is under the care of the internal energy, now the devotee is saying, please give me to the worship of Gandharva, the internal energy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has wonderful prayers asking to fall at the feet of Srimati Radharani to do some service for her, to massage her feet, and to take shelter of her associates. Then what will one meditate on under the care of the internal energy? Now, Raghunath Das Goswami gives a meditation for his own personal mood. For those who have the mood of cowherd boys and Krishna's parents, their meditation would be a little different. But again, everyone can meditate like this. We have Radha Krishna here. We don't say to people when they first come, now don't look at the deities until you are advanced. right? Or temples where we have Lalita and Vishakha, like at Radha Desh. Again, everyone can come and meditate on Radha Krishna, Lalita and Vishakha. But this verse is designed for those on the path who are free now of all deceit and who are meditating on them in their eternal mood. So to meditate on Krishna as the moon of the Vrindavan forest, this is our oil painting for this verse, based again on Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Radha Krishna, Lalita and Vishakha. To meditate on Krishna as the Lord of Srimati Radharani, Radharani as the beloved of Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this servant has fallen into the depths of the ocean. Please pick her up with the boat of your strong mercy. Vishakha as the guru. Vishakha, of course, in the form of Ramananda Roy, was the guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda gives us the Yamuna Astakam, how Jamuna, the daughter of the sun god, saves us from entering the abode of Yamaraj, her brother. Just meditating on the Jamuna can save us from repetition of birth and death. Lalita, the confidant of Srimati Radharani. Radhakund, which gives us the sight and love of Radha and Krishna. And Govardhan, which gives us the sight and love of Radha and Krishna. And then Raghunath Das Goswami has a beautiful prayer to Srimati Radharani as the internal energy. Right? One must come under the internal energy. Mahatmanas tu mam partha, daivim prakriti mashrita. Of course, Radha and Krishna are one person, but for pastimes, they eternally separate themselves. He meditates on how Radharani outshines all of the demigoddesses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about how she's the lotus of good fortune in the moonlight, the beloved of her father, Vrishabhanu. It's really a sweet picture. How she outshines all the other gopis. This is our oil painting for this verse. This Leela has never before been illustrated. This is Krishna's return to Ras Leela, exactly according to the verses of the Bhagavatam and the commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, by the mercy of the Sakis, we climb in the boat of Radharani's mercy and attain her lotus feet. Then what are we doing when we're under the care of the internal energy? Okay, we're meditating on Radha Krishna, Lalita, Vishakha, and we're meditating on the internal energy. What are we going to do? He says every day, anudinam, we can do five nectars. These are worship, glorification, meditation, hearing divine pastimes, offering obeisances. 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 Anudinam, every day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about all these in relation to Govardhan. Worship of Govardhan, offering obeisances to Govardhan, meditation at Govardhan. In his commentary, he talks about Jiva Goswami's five steps of meditation with five subsets of the third step, as Prabhupada discusses in Nectar of Instruction, text 8. We'll be going into this a little bit on Friday. Hearing divine pastimes at Govardhan. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we should bathe Govardhan with these five nectars. Oh, goodness, what were they again? I'm sorry, I forgot. Can you help me? What are they again? Worship, glorification, meditation. Very good. Anudinam, every day. And Raghunath Das Goswami says one should also worship Govardhan according to the rules. Of course, he received, this is his Govardhan Shila, an actual photograph of his Govardhan Shila he received from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Lord Chaitanya, the moon in the sky-like heart of the devotees, personally gave his Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami. This is what we use as the cover for the book. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, as one does these five nectars, oh, what were they again? As one does these five nectars, drinks these five nectars, the internal glowing nectar has now differentiated into five, that one will gradually come closer and closer to the divine couple. And why should we worship Govardhan? Because there Krishna is with his friends and Radha is with her friends. Right? Of all the devotees, Govardhan Hill is the best. And even one at this stage is still doing all the externals that anybody will do, even as a new devotee, taking the Charanamrita, wearing the garland, right? Wearing tilak. That because this is the inner path. Then we have our benedictory verse. Maybe we will just sing this one, all right? Can we just sing this one? Friday we'll sing all of them. So this is to the tune of Jagannath Astakam, but don't change the last line. Keep the last line like the other three, and we can sing this all together. Not call and response. We can sing it all together. Everybody ready? Right? Mana shiksha nai kada shakavaram etam maduraya gira gayat yuchai samagigata sarvatayatiya sayuta shri rupanu gai habavan gokulavane jano radha krishna tula bhajana ratnam salabate. We can say the English together. Becoming a follower of Sri Rupa and his companions, one who with a sweet voice loudly recites these 11 supreme verses which give instructions to the mind and strives to understand all of their meanings completely, obtains the incomparable jewel of worshipping Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the forest of Gokula. And here is this 12th verse on a leaf book, as Raghunath Das Goswami would have done, with Krishna's jewel. Following Rupa Goswami, don't make up one's own process. Rupa, who heard from Mahaprabhu and who wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And here we have Raghunath Das Goswami writing Manashiksha on the bank of Radhakund. Bhaktivinoda said, either do this in Vraja to attain Krishna or do it anywhere, and one will attain Krishna in Vraja. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes many prayers glorifying Vraja, one of which is that Radharani has the mood that this Vrindavan is mine. So this is a very, very quick run-through of the splendid instructions to the mind by Raghunath Das Goswami. Of course, we understand Raghunath Das Goswami by the grace of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So thank you very much. If you think I went way too fast, it's because I did. And if you had a lot of questions that I didn't answer, that's right. This was really just a very introductory run-through. We're going to be giving a different presentation on this tomorrow at Soho at the Sunday Feast. We'll be giving a presentation more for the general audience. We won't be discussing much the last verses particularly. And then on Friday, Krishna willing, at 7:30, we'll be doing an in-depth presentation, although even that will not be that in-depth. We also have some more in-depth presentations that you can find online at ISKCON Desire Tree and on YouTube. So we have time for just a few quick questions, or questions that have quick answers, rather.